Oh, you're good. I always struggle with them. Wherever I go, some don't understand. When I ask them, praise God, they look at me. But in Africa, we respond. When we say hallelujah, they say amen with joy. Anyway, number one, I would like to thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity He has given unto me to find myself here, even among the saints in this chapel. I want to say my name, sir, as you have heard, Ishmael Ochieng Okuku, because I do believe the book of Amos reminds us that how can two people walk together before they know each other, yeah? So I'll give you a little bit, very short, of how I came to know the Lord, very quickly. Then I'll let you know a little bit, few things which you are yet to see in the pictures on the wall. I was born in a Christian family. My dad and my mom knew the Lord, though my father was he participated in Second World War. And he came back home all mature enough, and he met the Lord. And then he met his wife, and we were born. And I'm the firstborn, guess it. Now, as I was shown the door of the church as a child, we grew in Sunday school, moving, growing, and up to my teenagerhood in the church. But one thing I knew and was sure that I was not saved. I was a churchgoer. But it came real to me in the year 1989. That is, practically, I met the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I remember very well, one evening, I was out in a very small town called Homa Bay. That's where we went to do some manual work. And a friend of mine, he knew the Lord. And that evening, after we do some work, he had my person. My share was to go follow him and get my part. And that evening, they were going to the evening fellowship. So as I followed him in that church, when I arrived there, I found the church, the meeting is going on. So I had no otherwise but to sit at the back and wait. So in the process of me waiting, my friend and the speaker was on, and it was amazing to me. The message was on me. This man didn't know me. I didn't know him. But he was speaking the oracles and the word of God and was pointing on my life. And I suddenly had a very, very strong conviction in my heart. And even I felt a strong man who could not even, you could not see the tears coming. That day I cried, I assure you. And the speaker came, hold me after the meeting is over, told me, young man, I think today is your day. The Lord is calling you. You need to respond. And I obeyed that. And I call upon Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I want to tell you one thing. From that day, my life has never been the same again. I've seen God working and moving in my life. And I remember after that, I prayed and asked the Father that, God, I want to marry in the church. As I may tell you, I grew economically. The background I came up was very, very poor background. My dad had nothing, only the Bible in his hand. That's what he could count as wealth. He had no cow, no even a chicken. But we grow a very painful life normally. And that really affected me a lot. But when I came to know the Lord now, I was asking God, Father, I know you have changed me, and I want to see things different. I want to see your power in my life. I asked God, I want to marry in the church. That's what my request to God. And 8 years down the line, the Lord fulfilled my desire. And I met my lovely girl, or my lovely wife. I only have one wife. Oh, I know, I make you laugh. Well, her name is Moline Adhiambo. We met back in 1997. I met her, and the elders accompanied me to go visit her, and the arrangement was made, and we did a wedding ceremony in the chapel called Kimathi Chapel. After that, the Lord has blessed us with 3 boys or 3 sons. So that house of ours is dominated with men with one girl, 4 men with one girl, but we thank God for his blessing. After that, the Lord laid, after I came to know the Lord really laid a burden in my heart to go out and carry the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. That has been the burden, and it came real and powerfully after I came to marry, and we both share the burden with my wife, and we were recommended to go start off, and that is how this vision you are yet to see was born. Where we went to start a new work was in a very poor setup in the outskirts of Nairobi City. I know some of you are familiar with the name slums. You know what slums is all about? Yeah, slums is a settlement around the city where people, those who does not have much, they just try, they're struggling with life, they have no hope, so they gather around these places and stay as a community. They form another community in themselves. That's where the Lord sent us. It's a very hard place, and we were to go because the Lord has said go. So we obeyed that, and it was very tough. So as we started sharing the gospel, and people were coming to the Lord, but we had a challenge that every weekend, you know, the Indian rich people in Nairobi, every weekend or every Friday, the day they go to their temple and offer their gods the food, so they take food to their temples. Then what they do, after that, in the afternoon, they pack all those foods to the truck and take to the poor people in the slums. So even the people we reach with the gospel, I went and found on the line. And this really made me feel some pain to say, the Father, we know the truth. We've shared the truth with these people. And here you see, I believe these people are worshiping some other gods, not a true God. And here they are sharing. And we pray that God may open some other means to reach his people and to serve them physically. And that is how, under a thorough search of heart and prayer, the Lord revealed this ministry called Shelter of Hope. You are soon seeing Shelter of Hope. So Shelter of Hope originally was born in back the year 2005 with only my wife and I. One evening we took a step of faith and went out in the slums, along the street of the slums, and we started this work with 7 children. We served them. We were sharing the gospel that evening and some few bread and water. That's what we have. We took that faith, and I want to tell you, today you are about to see what came out of that. You will be amazed. It's not Ishmael. It's all the Lord's work. It's all he's doing. He has made that simple work, which started at a very humble beginning, to explode, and is growing every day. Every day we are seeing God's hand, and out of nothing, it has revealed himself. And you will see there are 2 positions. We started this work in Nairobi slums, very small, and it gave birth to another center outside Nairobi, which is far away, about 350 miles, which in kilometers is about 500 and plus. So that is where I was born and brought up. So we had to open a branch there to start a school because education is a problem. So we have a school there, and we have a chapel, and we have a clinic. And the Lord provided water. So when you see you will see the 2 different aspects of the video, some covering this, the many houses attached together. That is slums of Nairobi and the chapel. And the other part, you will see the village with trees and very flat. That is where the village. Actually, one of the sisters from this chapel came to us, and they did a wonderful job, Christine and Roberts. We really had a wonderful time with them. When they came, we saw angels descending. Anyway, in quotes, because it's not normal for such visitors to be seen around in such places. So when they arrived, everybody was excited, and we had a wonderful time. So may I take some few moments just to let you see, because somebody said, pictures speaks 1,000 words. Maybe later I'll share with you a little bit briefly from what the Lord has laid in my heart and the short experience I've had with him from the scriptures. Finishing, and I think the most of the important areas of the work have been covered. I know the time in America is valued. So I don't want to make you hate me. I want many brothers and sisters to love me more. So I'm going to try to be very brief. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier, I think pictures speaks louder than words. You have been a witness to see what began from only 7 children on the street. Now you can see how many people God has enabled us to reach within a very short period of 8 years, I can say, because 05 up to today. That is what God has done. In brief, I know, I want to tell you that, and I know you have heard, life here in America is very different with back in Africa. The setup in terms of education, in terms of health, there's a lot of injustice, because those who have nothing will never access it, and no hope for that. And the same to education. So that is how the Lord laid a burden in us to stand in the gap. And our main work, we have been called to stand in the gap. Number two, to be a blessing to many. We are a mouthpiece to these, the lovely ones whom you have seen. Now, I want just to remind ourselves as the body of Christ today, because the main agenda for all the church around the world, I believe, is rounded to the same point. The arrow is pointing the same place, the same point. And what comes really to my mind, and have been an encouragement and a reminder to me in my ministry, number one, I'll share with you some very, very quick thoughts from the scripture. You can turn with me from the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, even from verse 1, I'll read a few verses. And we all know that this is a letter of a man called Paul. Paul, after his conversion, really had a very, very strong passion to move, to go and teach, train, preach. And he has been my favorite in the Bible. When I follow Paul and read his speeches, has really motivated my call, because this was a brave man and he didn't care the suffering or what how people will take him. One thing Paul knew is to remain focused and to be diligent with what the Lord has instilled in him, and that has been my pillar of my faith. And he's writing to the church these words and saying, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above. Number one, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then two, say, set your minds on the things above and on not on earth. Not on earthly things. Number three, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, and like the sexual and many others he has counted, which you can read later. But my main interest was this, the first three key verses. That since then, I and you have been called. If at all you are in this room and you responded to the gospel, this word is for you. And for me, I responded the same. And this is the word reminding us as believers that since we died with Christ, in other words, when a person, as I know, the Bible says that when a person received Christ, the natural man died and a new man is created. And this new man in us has got a work to do. We are not called just to sit and being dormant. We have been called to be active. And as we have been called to be active, because we are visitors in this world. That's why I have been thinking, why did Paul remind the believers to say, do not set your eyes in the things on earth, and set your eyes above. So I'm trying to think myself in African way to say, why up, not down? Why did Paul not tell us, or the Spirit tell us, look down, not up? But it is other ways. He's telling all of us, keep focus the things above. Your eyes up, not down. And he's saying there is a difference between the things up and the things down. You can think a little bit. What are on up that we are being told not to look at? In a minute, you may wonder. Some may say, no. You remember the rich man in the book of Luke who said, I've worked very hard. I've kept my everything. I'll enjoy and marry. And then the next day, the Lord told him, I'm sorry, we are calling you. And the things on earth, these are the part of the things of earth we are being reminded today, that please let us not put our full attention to the things on earth, because they will interfere with the things above. Because we are visitors. This is not our home. I think maybe Paul reached and met men and women, maybe in the church, who are living like they are permanently on the earth. I tend to think so. And that is why he had an opportunity and a chance to remind them. And this is for us too today, that brothers and sisters, let us look up. Up, you may think, what is up that we are being urged to look into? Up is where there is hope. Up is where there is life forever. Eternity. Eternity can never be found down. You look down many times, down is about grave. Down is about destruction. But up, there is hope of glory. Up speaks of good things to come. Up will give you more strength to live another day. Up. I don't know. That is how we are moving on in the other side of the world. Always, you know what, in Africa, I was telling some brothers in America, in Africa is where, or in other third world, not only Africa. I was shown the other part of another world in North America. I was shocked to see. I was telling my brother, oh, this picture seemed like our home. So there are many parts in this world where there is terrible life. There are people who wake up in the morning and the sun will be going down. They don't know even whether they will eat or they are just going to sleep. That is found. I don't think that is the same situation with you guys. It's not the same. You are sure, and Americans want to be made sure that their food is safe, which is okay. But we don't have food to be made to be safe. You live and you trust God whether he will bring it on your table, which I appreciate, because there must something God saw and offer and open that opportunity here, which we must appreciate. But it is very sad that you may find that some Americans have never realized that. That is the sad part of it. They take it for granted. I'm urging you, my dear brothers and sisters, that never take for granted what God has granted you here, but never allow yourself to sink in it. But we are reminded today that let us all focus up, because up is where our permanent home has been set. Jesus said, "I must go to prepare a place." The Bible didn't say, "I must go down to prepare you a place." He said, "I must go up." And when the Bible reminds us that after the death of Christ that we were celebrating, after defeating the death, and the process was very clear, that as he walks away with the disciple, and he was seen descending, and all eyes were up, seeing the Lord going, where his Father is living. And that is where we also, we have been set to follow him. In fact, he's coming to take us there. Now, it is very sad that in this time we are living, you may find that in the churches where we are today, there are many people that are still busy looking down, where we are being told never to be focused on. There are people in Christian life whereby their life is still fond of concentrating on the things of the world. We have not given all to Jesus. There is a song which we normally sing and say, "All to Jesus I surrender." But truly speaking, you may find that there are people either calling themselves believers that have never given to all. They have never surrendered. You look, their life is, that's at some point Paul was speaking to his church saying, the church is looking like a lukewarm church. Very sad indeed. Because the church was born with fire and power and authority. And before I finish, I am seeing the stick is going. And some Americans are watching me very carefully. I don't want you to be my enemy, man. Before I finish and we pray, Romans 1 verse 16. It is a well-known verse to Bible scholars and people who have stayed with their Bible. Remember these words Paul is saying, and this has been my favorite. I told you I like Paul because I want to be like him, but more like Jesus. But he says these words, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jews, to them who believe." And one thing I've been asking myself, why did Paul mention a very short word, "I am not ashamed"? This has been my question. I don't know whether you have thought it the way I've thought it. But I've been asking myself, this man was known to be a very strong man, highly learned, was used with the Roman government even to torture the believers. Now, this man coming back, speaking a very, this word which demonstrates weakness, because the opposite of afraid is to be strong or courageous or what. But no, he's no longer saying, "I'm coming to you and I'm courage." No, he's saying, "I'm coming to you, but one thing I know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel For it is the power of God. It's, these two things have caught my attention. I'm not ashamed, and it's giving a reason because it is the power of God. It's like, but let me tell you shortly, there are many believers who have been ashamed. We don't understand the kind of guru net we are carrying. We are carrying a very powerful tool which can explode, because the power which Paul is speaking about is the power which resurrected our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. It's not a joke. When one is called to have Jesus in himself, this is not a mere person. This is a serious man before God. And is, you remember what Paul is reminding the Philippians chapter 4? He's saying, the one in us is greater than the one in the world. The one in me as Ishmael, as a child of God, is greater than the one in the world. And his name is who? Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord himself say, if you invite me, I stay and live in you, you will do exploit. And this was seen, even the revelation of this power. You remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 31b, when the Hebrews young guys who were in exile, God is demonstrating this power Paul is talking about in New Revelation. And when the kingdom of a wicked man was out to destroy the children of God, and it was proved beyond doubt, there is another power, a powerful God, who can stood beyond. His power is more than fire of this world. And that is demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. When a man, Jesus Christ, came and offered his life. And today, we are no longer the same. The Bible says, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that behold, if any be in Christ Jesus, is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. And we have been called to a purpose. Let us, I always call my God a serious businessman. You know what? Businessmen know what it's all about to be serious. A serious businessman don't want jokes in his company. If you try to joke around in a company of a serious businessman, he will chase you immediately, because you are coming to destroy his company. He will never allow you. God is a serious businessman. He's looking for serious people to use in his company. The business God has called us is to reach the world, to be the testimony of the world. I remind you, let us remind the last one as I close. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and the Lord is closing and ending his sermon. After the Beatitude, the nine Beatitudes. I hope you know that very well. You can do and refer back. And he's saying these words when he's concluding his message. The most serious part, according to me, he said these words. And now I've called you. You are the light of the world. And the second one is telling them, not only the light, you are the salt of the world. We have been called for a purpose and a business. Let you not take the word of God like a club. I've witnessed people here, I've worked some time, some people take Christianity in America here as a club. And even like in Kenya, I see some churches. This is a serious businessman. If you know you have been called to be a child of God, this is no jokes. You either made a decision to be what God wants, or you are not. Because you will regret. One day you will blame God. Oh God, I used to go to church. I used to give to people. You say, I don't know you. Go out. And you will wonder, then what did you want? Oh, The answer is in the book of John, chapter 4. Jesus said, the Lord is looking and searching those who will worship him in the spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. I don't want you to be my enemy, man. Let us pray. But before we pray, as we prepare, maybe you are in this room. You have been struggling to know the will of God. He is called a serious businessman. He is calling you. He is calling you to serve him, to be for him. Maybe you have never realized and you have never taken a step of faith. Don't let today go, because you never know what tomorrow holds. I'm pleading with anybody, I don't know you, but God has sent me here with a message to tell you, today is the day of salvation. And never let this go. And if you are there, you can commit your life to the Lord today, and you will never regret. And for the saints like me, let us remember never to be ashamed, and to move on with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with the testimony. Everlasting Father, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, honor and praise be unto you. Father, we are humbled to hear the words which are inspired by the Holy Spirit, meant to strengthen and to remind and to shape us, to mold us, to rebuke us. Father, we thank you for the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Father, we come before you as a church, as the people you have called. We know many times we have fell, we have not lived to the standard. We ask you to strengthen us again to go out and be the real light and the salt of the world. Father, many times we have been ashamed, even in the positions you place us, to open our mouth and utter word for the world, we have shied away. Father, forgive us. Today, we come to you, Father, that you may strengthen us. You may give us power that Paul is speaking about, the power which was revealed after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That power may live life in the church today. Father, maybe to those who are here today, they have never realized the love you had for the world. May you reveal yourself to them, that you may change them and they may take that step to live with you and for you forever. Father, thank you for this opportunity you gave us today, even to share your word together. May your holy name be blessed forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.